All right, let us go down to the mighty 1090, right, Raph? And that is Craig Elston, does the pre and post for the San Diego Padres in the midst of a big series for the Padres, for the Dodgers, Puig, Kennedy off the DL. Craig, you always have action now in San Diego.
Yeah, no kidding. It sure is a different year down here in America's finest city, Marty. We've turned the page, and the 2015 Padres, great reviews.
Well, we're going to see the Padres a week after this, after the Angels. The Padres are in San Francisco. What is new with San Diego these days? Anything different? The bullpen. Kennedy comes back. Where does Despaigne go?
Well, Despaigne is going to settle into the long reliever role, I guess, from a Giants fan standpoint, the Chismero Petit role. You know, that guy who can come in and give you three or four innings if need be. And I think he's quite a luxury to have in today's game of baseball, a real sixth starter on your team that provides depth. The Padres did not miss a beat when Kennedy went out and Despaigne went in.
So last night, Greinke, and boy, I watched the game last night, but he's just terrific. Gets out of trouble, dances around a little bit. Padres just couldn't come up with a big hit last night. That's the way I saw it.
Well, and they had a couple of opportunities, the best being the bottom of the second inning. They were already down 1-0, but loaded the bases with nobody out. The issue was it was for the wrong spot in the order. Alexi Amarista was really the key. He was the number 8 hitter, but he struck out, and when he did, that allowed Greinke to go after Cashner. Cashner struck out, and then Will Myers fell victim to what I think is one of the hidden stories in the NLS this year, which is that defensive positioning philosophy of the Tampa Bay Rays being transported over to the Dodgers with Andrew Friedman, and a perfectly positioned Howie Kendrick was right behind second base to snare a line drive that would normally be a two-run single. I noticed the Dodgers shifting more, watching them in person last night, probably 4 to 5 times more. I think you'd agree from seeing them in person last week or earlier in the week, 4 to 5 times more than they used to. And it really did make a difference last night, particularly in that inning.
Boy, interesting. Craig Elston with us does the pre and post for the Padres. It happened up here with Justin Maxwell hit a rocket up the middle on a 3-0 pitch, if I'm not mistaken, 3-1 or 3-0, and Kendrick snared it. And then the Giants ended up winning in the next inning anyway. But you're right. The Andrew Friedman Tampa Bay philosophy has hit the Dodgers, and there's no question about it. Do the Padres shift as much or no?
No, not even close. I wouldn't say that they're fully traditional. They do shift on some left-handed hitters. They were shifting on Gonzalez last night for the Dodgers, but it's not every batter, and what I noticed too is that there's a lot more shifting. This is across baseball happening against right-handed hitters, where it used to be you just saw the full hitting lefties get shifted against. Now it's full hitting righties too. So you know, Matt Kemp, Justin Upton seeing the shift almost every single time up last night. And I'm really curious to see when guys are going to just start bunting, because it's the only natural countermeasure, and players seem to just be unwilling to do it.
Well. Wow. Hey, so how do you feel about the ball club? Now, of course, we saw the Padres earlier. The Giants went to Arizona, then came to San Diego, and they haven't hit yet since then. How are the Padres doing? We talked to you during that series. Now, this is a couple of weeks later. How are the San Diego Padres looking?
Well, you know, obviously, right now, a three-game losing streak, which is their first such streak of the season. So you can look for a couple more warts to pop up here in terms of the analysis, but prior to that, winners of 10 out of 15 to start the season. And what you see from this Padres team, Marty, that I think is going to be their trademark is power. Power on both sides, meaning power pitching, power hitting. And when you look at the Padres, a staff that I didn't check the press notes yesterday, but coming into the week, they were leading the NL in strikeouts, you know, starters and team as a whole. That overcomes, to some extent, what to me is by far the biggest weakness of the Padres, which is their defense, which is average to below average pretty much everywhere you look around the diamond. But if you have guys who can strike people out, well, it mitigates the defensive worries a lot. And then this Padres team has shown a lot of tenacity so far, coming from behind in almost every single game that they've played, finding a way to rally. And it's something, of course, here in San Diego, where we were treated to the most inept offense the NL has seen in decades last year. It's something that's a real welcome surprise to Padres fans, seeing their team be down a couple runs, three runs. We've even seen them down four in the ninth and come back to tie in Chicago. So they've got the power to erase the mistakes that I've seen them make defensively and on the base path. They have it on the mound. They have it at the plate. And I think it's going to be, you know, you never expect home run hitting to be utterly consistent throughout the year, but I think that power pitching will be.
Well, that's a great point. Craig Elston with us. That's a great point. Strike him out so you don't have to catch the ball. Last night I was watching the game, and Justin Upton overran a ball in left field and allowed a runner to take another base. Did he get an error on that?
He did not. And you're right, though. It wasn't a great play. And those little mistakes are going to continue to pop up. I still feel like the Padres play three right fielders in the outfield when they have Upton, Myers, and Kemp. Myers has probably played better than we thought in center field, but you don't have in any of the three a dynamic go-get-em guy.
Wow. Hey, Craig, you're down in Southern California, and I know that. Josh Hamilton in the news, and Artie Moreno got his wish. Josh Hamilton's going to go back to the Rangers. Rangers are going to absorb a very small amount of that contract, and Josh Hamilton's glad to get out of there. What's your take on what went down between the Angels and Josh Hamilton?
You know, highly unfortunate. I really think that in this day and age, a lot of factors work against Josh Hamilton, one being just the visibility of the circumstance. There are plenty of employees in plenty of companies all around the country that work through addiction issues and have, you know, peaks and valleys along the way and receive support along the way. But when you are somebody who is in the national spotlight and everyone knows that you make $25 million a year and you're not performing, and then this comes up again, I think it's a lot easier for people to cast aspersions on Josh Hamilton and to kind of throw a lot at him, or conversely, to not blame the Angels for trying to recoup the money that he owed. You know, that's the contract that was signed. He's owed that money. They tried to take it away. The joint drug agreement prevents it. And so now, frankly, I feel like the Angels just lose all the way around on this. They lose hugely in terms of their perception, I think, throughout baseball, in terms of where they are as a franchise and how they treat their players. But beyond that, look at this, Marty. The Angels, when all is said and done, will have paid close to $110 million for what they got out of Josh Hamilton for 2 years, while for 3 years, the Rangers, at a price of about $5 million a year, will get to use him against them. So it's even more pronounced circumstance than what we have here in San Diego, where the Dodgers are paying $18 million for Matt Kemp to play against them this year. I think you might see an incredibly motivated Josh Hamilton that comes out of this if he has anything left to give in his major league career. It could really come back to kill the Angels, who come out as the losers in this. I think it's sad all the way around, and I hope Josh Hamilton finds a way to recoup some bit of his career.
Yeah, great story, and good analysis of it. We'll see. I always liked him. He's always very cordial with me, but I know the issues he's got, and it looked like he was just giving away at bats, mailing it in last year, and Artie Moreno just doesn't put up with it. And he's eaten a lot of contracts, Gary Matthews Jr., Vernon Wells. And, you know, when it doesn't work out, he's not opposed to having a big dinner with a contract. I'll tell you that. Hey, you brought up Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp, the Dodgers paying $18 million of his salary. Matt Kemp looks like he's having a terrific season.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing so far is the power stroke. I'd say he's having almost a peak performance season to this point. I was talking about that with our postgame guys, Coach and Randy, as we were getting out of our postgame show last night. That they're saying, oh, well, Kemp, we're waiting for the power to show up. And, you know, hey, he's hitting, around 350? He's getting two hits a game. He's hitting line drives. But as a presence, Matt Kemp has given the Padres what they have not had since Adrian Gonzalez left, a true star. Somebody in the middle of the lineup, somebody you can count on, somebody who can power the lineup, and he doesn't have to do it by hitting a home run. Many times, so far this year, Kemp has been the table setter, getting on in front of Upton or Middlebrooks or Norris to drive him in. So Kemp and has played much better in right field than was advertised. I think everyone knew that Matt Kemp has a good arm. He's shown that, and of course in right field you can show off your arm. But so far, he's been faster than was advertised by about a half step, and he's covered right field capably, which is much better than we were told he was going to be able to do. Yes, first of 5 years, and a super motivated player, but I really feel like this is the year for the Padres and Matt Kemp. This is the college credit card year. You know, when you're 18 years old and you get that first credit card in college and you just go hog wild and then the check comes due, that bill comes around the bend a few months later and you wind up handing it to your folks going, $5,000, I'm sorry. That's pretty much Matt Kemp with the Pods this year. They barely have to pay any of his salary. He is ultra motivated. The check will come due down the road, but right now Matt Kemp, playing at a franchise player level, and if he does contribute the 20, 25-plus home runs that the Padres anticipate, I mean, what a player he'll be.
Boy, great story. Craig, what's your take on the Giants? Now, we're here. We see all the games. You're down there. You have your pulse on the pre and post for the Padres. You've seen the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks. Now, from down there, what do you see in the Giants?
What I see in the Giants is a team that is definitely struggling when it comes to the rotation overall. And I see a youngster in Heston who's trying to find his way. I see Lincecum, who, as we know, has had his well-documented struggles. Hudson, who is on the tail end and has a half-life right now, and how much does he have left? A savvy veteran, but I don't know if you can keep him in the ranks of where he used to. And that starting pitching deficit, which used to be an incredible strength for the San Francisco Giants, is something that right now I feel is working against them daily. I think the Giants will hit a little better than we've seen. Obviously, they haven't hit at all, or at least on a consistent level. I think Belt's going to hit and isn't going to be a complete cipher. I think Posey's going to get back to Posey numbers. I'm not worried about that, but I'm sure you guys would agree that the difference between this year and last, you know, when you say minus Sandoval, minus Pence, is that you have a little bit less of minus Morse, a little bit less of that ability to quick strike, to get back in a game with a two-run blast. And that's what the Padres have this year that they never used to have for years and years. I think the Giants are missing that a little bit. I'm not too worried about your bullpen, although I think some, especially when you pitch as many innings as they have, a little bit of regression this year would not be a surprise at all. But it's that starting staff right now and the lack of a lot of thump in the lineup that, to me, makes the Giants a medium team right now.
All right. Interesting. I always like to get our perspective from out of the Bay Area because we watch them here and, you know, they swept the Dodgers playing like they were world champions again. So we know it's in there, but you got to pitch your way through it. Then they got to get out of this weekend at Coors Field, which is never simple. Hey, Greg, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by, and we'll talk to you next week.
Marty, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. I'm keeping my eye on you guys.
All right, thanks. Craig Elston, pre and post on the Mighty 1090 down in San Diego. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.